welcome to That Makes Total Sense, the podcast where we talk about faith, finance, and everyday life in a way that makes total sense. I'm your host, Alexis Busetti. On this podcast, you'll hear the personal stories of friends I'll be interviewing who are doing familiar things in new and innovative ways. We'll answer questions specifically about money and our relationship with it, and we'll explore faith and Bible teaching together. In all of these, it's not about changing our convictions as much as it is about messing with our methods. We'll have a lot of moments here together where we pause, then say, that makes total sense. Hi, I'm Alexis Busetti, and welcome to That Makes Total Sense. Today's episode is another one of our money conversations. So we are going to talk about money and singleness in this episode with my friend Tiffany. Tiffany and I met through our mutual friend Michelle McKinney, who I interviewed in episodes 3 and 4, by the way, so you can go back and listen. But I have been a coach for Tiffany. I have been a friend for Tiffany. And I just want to tell you, she is crushing it. And so I had asked her to come on, and originally I just thought, okay, this will be another coaching session style episode. She'll ask me some questions, I'll answer, it'll be great for our audience. Well, let me just tell you that this really turned into Tiffany doing the coaching, okay? I have not been single for 16 years. And so, yes, a lot of my clients are single women. I love to help single women and talk with them about their money, their relationship with money and finances. But I can tell you, it ended up me being the one asking the questions of Tiffany about money and being single and how to deal with that. So you are going to love it. If you are married or in a relationship, though, don't skip out on this one. It's so good. There are just some really good tips and gems in this episode for having a healthy relationship with money. And I really think you're going to enjoy it. So here's my conversation with Tiffany.
All right, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us today on the That Makes Total Sense podcast. I am your host, Alexis Busetti, and today we are going to have a money chat. We're going to have a money conversation with my friend and my client, Tiffany. Hey, Tiffany.
Hi, Alexis. How are you?
Oh, I'm great. Thank you so much for coming on and joining us today.
No problem. Thank you so much for the great opportunity. I'm excited.
Yay. I'm excited too. So Tiffany lives in Maryland, and since I do almost all of my coaching virtually, Tiffany and I have seen each other quite a bit, and this is what I want you to know about Tiffany. She's crushing it. She is crushing it. She is in her finances and in her goals and in her career. She's just doing an amazing job. Tiffany is in her 30s, early 30s, and she is a business owner. She is actually a speech pathologist, which just blows my mind. She's so good at what she does. And she is single. So I am not telling you this so that everybody, all you guys, don't try and get Tiffany's number, okay? I'm telling you this because Tiffany and I are going to talk today about money and being single. And so some of the benefits, some of the challenges, and we just want to let you guys in on our conversation so that hopefully if you're in the same situation as Tiffany, you can benefit and maybe get some tips on what it's like to improve your relationship with money when you're single. So Tiffany, let us have it. Tell us a little bit about, like I told everyone a little bit, but tell us a little bit about your, you know, you're where you are right now, and then maybe let's go into what it's like. Like, what are you struggling with? What are your challenges? What do you love about being single? But then how does that affect your relationship with money?
Okay. I guess I'll back up a little bit to when things really changed for me in 2016. And I left my full-time job in the school system after that school year was over. I met someone in private practice who became my mentor and decided this is the jump. I'm going to take this leap of faith and really do that. At the same time, I was under contract for a house. So leaving my job.
This is huge. Like you're young now, but you were young then to be taking this jump into private practice and buying a house and all of that stuff.
Absolutely. I was getting ready to approach 30. And leaving my job, and I've been in the school system almost 7 years at that point, and getting ready to buy a house too. But God told me to do it. He didn't close any doors, and so I stepped into it. It was very risky, I think, knowing that, you know, you're doing this thing solo. But I knew that God had called me to it, so I kept moving forward. So now we're 3 years, I guess, past that. And I've been owning a business full-time for 3 years, and my house 3 years, and God is making things move, and he's still moving, and I'm so ever grateful. It's a very humbling experience and a testimony, especially because I came through a divorce before that. So I always say God gave me huge beauty, and he gave me so much beauty for my ashes.
Amazing. I love that. I love that so much.
Yeah, it's a good journey as far as being single and feeling empowered and knowing that, you know, when things happen well, it's like a God moment.
Right.
And my prayer partner says a God formation. So that's awesome.
I love that.
Yeah. So that's great. But at times it can feel a little lonely when you're like stepping and putting that foot out there, because if you make a mistake, you feel like, okay, it's me, it's my fault if it doesn't work type thing. So it can feel lonely at times. Sometimes you feel like you're juggling a lot with home finances and a business perspective as well. So it's just the juggle gets to be stressful at times.
Right. And thank you so much for sharing all of that, because you really are. You're just doing so great. You're on the path. I mean, I've seen you and known you for over a year now, just walking this way. You're doing a great job. But I'm so thankful that you shared that it can feel lonely sometimes.
Absolutely.
Like, you know, those W's you get to share with God, but when you have like a little slip up, you know, it's kind of like when you have a W, it's all you. And then when you have a slip up, it's all you too. And so that I get how that can feel a little bit lonely. But I know you said you had a prayer partner. What do you do in those moments when you're like having those feelings of like a little bit deflated when you kind of have hit a bump?
Sure. When I feel the stress building up or it feels pretty overwhelming, I really try to use it as a humbling experience, even if it's a, you know, fall or whatever happens, to go to God and, you know, try to pray more and really just stop and say, hey, God, your will be done, not my will, but yours. Even though it's something I have to work through, even if it's a financial struggle, like, what is it in this that I need to learn? Why am I going through this? And it's a humbling experience because you have to reach out for people to pray for you.
Right.
People that you trust. Like I said, my prayer partner lives in Atlanta. She's amazing. We've known each other for over 12 years now. I'll call her, text her, hey girl, I really am in the trenches. Like, please, you know, get on your face for me. I have an amazing, amazing mother who's such a woman of faith. I call her, let's go, let's get it.
Right.
Type thing to let her know that I'm in a space and I don't want to stay there long. My pastor at my home church always says, you have 24 hours to kind of sulk in your mess. And then after you give it to God, you got to move on. So
wow.
I take that 24 hours to kind of get it together, either cry it out or, you know, bust with myself, whatever the case may be, and then try to get my in a right headspace so I can move forward.
Right.
And get out of my, woe is me, I'm single, I got to deal with it all by myself type thing. Because you get like that. That's just honest.
Right.
But really trying to take that 24 hours to get myself together and kind of shake the dust off and move forward and kind of look at, looking at it as a blessing, you know, look at what you're going through as a blessing. It says, don't look at it so much as what's going wrong, but take the blessing in it.
Right. No, that's good. My husband said something the other night that I thought was so good. Like, even talking about transitioning, you know, like when you said 24 hours to soak in my mess, I thought that was really funny, but he said, you know, emotional, he said part of it is about emotional investment. Like you can emotionally invest for a certain time in the past and processing the past and what has happened in the past.
Right.
But at some point when you're going to move forward, you have to emotionally invest in what's coming next.
Right.
And instead of emotionally investing in the processing and the muck, which is good and healthy for a time to do, but then we have to emotionally invest in moving forward and what's coming forward. So that's so good. But girl, I know you don't mess up every day. So tell me about something that you find like everyday life, because you were married, you were in a relationship before, and then now you're single. And so you have a little bit of a perspective of, you know, kind of how the other half lives, and you can see like what it was like then compared to what it was like now. So just in your daily, like, what are some of the challenges that you find that are different because you're single now compared to somebody who might be married when they're dealing with money?
I think one of the challenges is that, you know, you're trying to, what Granny used to say about the size of a mustard seed, you're really trying to, you have a little and you're trying to spread it, you know, okay, make all these things work. So you're looking at your account, and whereas, you know, you have two incomes coming into that account, you're looking at it from a perspective of this is all we got and I have to get everything done household wise. Mm-hmm. Be wise about that. And we've talked about that in our individual coaching sessions. What can I do to get rid of these bills? What can I do to save? What can I do to be frugal, but still, you know, enjoy life and travel and do the things that I love to do? So how can I spread with a little bit and see God make a whole lot out of it?
Right.
And pay for a full lease at an office and a full mortgage and, you know, and still give and tithe and support family members when it's needed and those type of things. So it's just like how to do a whole lot with a little bit.
Right.
That's some of the stressor of it, knowing that it's, you know, one income coming in. Or can, I know one of the business groups I'm in online on Facebook, we talk about like how people who are doing well and successful financially have multiple streams of income and they always have a side hustle. So mm-hmm. I've worked those in. So I'm always looking on ways to do that. And currently I'm contracting with another business owner that I know in Speech Path and doing some home health stuff for her on the side. I'm also tutoring on the side. So trying to bring other streams in there to help with what we call, I guess, the extras or the excess, the things that don't need to be done, but things that like make my life better. Like I really am able to shut down and get myself together when I can travel a little bit. So
right.
Those extra funds go to things like that.
Right. Because what I hear you saying, part of what I hear you saying is it's like the recognition that just because you have one income doesn't necessarily mean that it's like cheaper to run your household. Right. So it's like, you know, you still have rent or mortgage and food and bills and, you know, all of that stuff, whether if two people were living in your house or just one person living in your
right.
house, but you have one income. And so, yeah. And so that is challenging on how to deal with it. You know, I've had more single women as clients than I like ever dreamed that I would.
Wow.
Partially because I never dreamed. I love it. I love, love, love working with these single women I'm working with, because the truth is the vast majority of them are just, they're like you and they're killing it. And so the stuff that I'm able to do for them is just kind of like push them a little bit further and help them do a little bit more because they're already just in such great shape. But part of the reason I thought, I don't know that I'm going to have that, is because I feel like I've been married since I was 12. I mean, like I was 21, but you know, one of the things I like to share with my single clients that I have is there's that side of it, that it's like you just have the one. But at the same time, you know, to look at it in the positive spin and say, you don't have to worry about anybody else's opinion, really, when it comes to A, how you spend money, B, what kind of side hustle are you doing, C, you know, what are your values and what does your timing look like? You know, you can do some of those things in the evenings or the weekends or some of that and not have to concern yourself with who's at home or who wants me home for dinner or something like that. You have that flexibility that people don't have when they're married, but also when you're talking about, you know, like wanting to do those extras, wanting to do the travel, well, you get to decide what the extra is. You get to decide how much extra hustle you want to spend for the extra fun, you know, and then like your fun might be, if you're for people who are in a married situation, your fun might be travel and his fun might be, you know, video games, buying, you know, technology or something like that. And you're like, wait a minute, I don't want to split this, you know? And so I think that's kind of a cool thing about being single, is that you get to choose and you get to determine what those values are for you. But let's talk a little bit about like accountability. I know that's like a word that nobody loves to okay. use, but it's like at the same time when you have, there's nobody there to say, I need you home at a certain time. Uh-huh. One thing I often say is there's also nobody there when you come home and you have your arms full of Target bags. Like, unless you have a roommate,
right?
You know, if I come home and I have an arm full of Target bags, I have five people in my house going, what'd you get? What'd you get? Mom, ooh, what'd you get? What'd you get? And I have to say what I got. Like, sometimes the answer is none of your business. I have to say what I got, and I have to put it in the budget, and I have to put it in the app, and I have, you know, and my husband's going to see, you know, and all of this stuff. Like, we have all of that. And so sometimes that's a great joy about being single, is when you walk in with an arm full of Target bags, nobody is asking you what you got. But at the same time, when you walk in, nobody's asking you what you got. And so how, besides a budget app or something like that, what do you feel is a good way for singles to, like, keep accountable to their money? Does that make sense?
Yes. No, and I wrestle with that sometimes. Like you said, I think the autonomy of it is great, because I've seen both sides of it. I've been, you know, a part of both, and just not having to explain something all the time is great. And knowing that, you know, all right, if God said I can do it, all right, I'll just go forward with it, and I don't have to consult anybody else. So that's, like, the nice part of it. That part can get challenging, because sometimes you do want to splurge at times, and you don't really have anybody to answer to. But sometimes it just comes down to that self-talk piece. And I think between being self-employed and owning on my own, I've gotten into more of that self-talk, and it's okay.
Tell us what you mean by that. Because I love that phrase, but I just kind of want us all to be on the same page.
Sure. Yeah. So it doesn't mean seeming like you're crazy and talking to yourself, but it's like having this.
Although I did see a meme the other day that said, I'm a self-employed business owner, and when you see me talking to myself, I'm having a business meeting.
I love it. Yeah. I noticed I do more of it since I've been self-employed, but it means having that kind of inner dialogue with yourself. That dialogue with yourself, with your conscience, with God there, and just kind of saying, hey, is this something I need to do? And my counselor, you coined this term, and I love it, especially when I was going through something really tough. She says, instead of worrying about what everybody else says, think about, does this serve you well? Does this serve you well as far as what God has you to do? Like, so kind of like the WWJD thing.
Right.
So I try to think about, does this serve me well? Like, all right, I already ate out a couple of times this month, and I'm, you know, would it serve me well to go ahead to Ruth Chris when that's really not something I need to do? It's not a celebration I have to be at. Like, so when do I kind of just pump the brakes a little bit and say, this isn't going to serve my finances well, because I've already, you know, spent too much this month, or I overdid it on groceries this month, or I had some unexpected medical bills that came up this month. So how do I kind of cut back a little bit?
Right.
How do I coupon more? How do I decide that, you know, I'm only going to only shop at Aldi this week, or whatever.
Right.
Like, let's get real.
Dude, they just put an Aldi like a mile from my house. I'm so pumped.
Yes. Aldi's rock. Yeah.
So, lots of gluten-free stuff, by the way.
Yes. Yeah, same here, right? So just like that self-talk piece. And like I said, sometimes I have a good girlfriend or prayer partner, somebody that I really trust. And my mom, of course, is always in my back pocket. But that can kind of talk me through that if I need it, or be real with me and pull me up and say, hey, you're going on that cruise next month. You need to watch it. Or, you know, like, if I were you, you know, they're not going to really, like, tell me what to do, but that I can receive that from them. So receiving that information from someone you really trust, having those self-talk moments and praying.
Right.
And I think when you start to pray about those things, God will, like, kind of put those roadblocks right in front of you and show you, like, that's enough.
Right.
You know, I didn't expect to buy four tires in a month. What?
Right.
Like, so pumped up.
Right. Right. And I love that there's a self-talk piece, there's a prayer piece, but when it's relational, this horizontal relational piece, then it's like you have people who know and who you have given permission to speak into your life in that way.
Absolutely.
Because I feel like, I don't know if you feel this way, but I feel like it doesn't matter if you're married or single or if you're pregnant or if you have kids, there's something about, it's like there are just some people in our lives or there are some situations where it's like everybody has an opinion on it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you can be standing in the grocery line and somebody has an opinion mm-hmm. on what you're buying or what you're, or what you're doing or what your situation is. But the point is not to listen to all of those people. It's like the people that you've given permission to speak into your life. And this is like,
oh yeah, that's
really, this is really funny to me because I'm realizing, I'm like, okay, so guys, Tiffany and I talked about this right before we came on and we're like, okay, let's just see how the conversation flows. Let's do this. And I'm sitting here going, Tiffany, I feel the tables turning right now. And I feel like instead of doing a true coaching session, I really am feeling more of like, because I know your situation, I'm feeling like, tell us how you're pulling off doing as well as you're doing as a single woman business owner and all of that. And so I'm feeling a little bit like, I'm just turning the tables on you and being like, okay, Tiff, we're just going to sit at your feet and you're going to tell us how you're crushing it.
I'm still learning.
You are still learning, which is so great. But I think that's the key is that, you know, you're still learning, but you're doing so many things really well along the way. And so now I'm just kind of feeling like instead of me doing the talking, like, let's just let you do the talking and tell us about some of the things, because these questions keep coming to my mind and I'm like, I know what I share with my single clients and how I try to encourage them in some of these ways, which I can share, but I'd also like to hear from you. So when you said Ruth Chris, I thought, okay, let's talk about it. Because so back up to, gee whiz, like 2001 or something like that. Don't tell me how old you were then, but like, let's back up. But so my husband was, we were not married yet, and he was interning in Houston when we were still living in Oklahoma, and he came down, and he was making really good money as an intern for one of the energy companies down here, and he was a single guy, and so he started going to a church, and he got in connection with, like, this young single professionals group at this church over the summer, and he started seeing his money disappear. And I'm like, I feel like I can give you one guess, but it was entertainment. Mm-hmm. It was everybody wants to go out to eat after service, or everybody's going to a movie on Tuesday night, or everybody's doing this, everybody's doing that. And it's like he was single. And so hanging out with his friends was the entertainment. And the group of friends that he was hanging out with were all young professionals who were making pretty good money. And so he's realizing, oh dear, I'm making pretty good money. And it's all like disappearing. I'm eating it all, basically, right, or whatever. And so, I mean, I can share maybe after you do some things that I've shared with some of my singles to help combat that. But is that a challenge that you see sometimes? Is like, because, you know, that's when you hang out with people, that's your hangout time. And it's not always just like, you know, popcorn and Netflix. Like, it's like, does it feel like maybe in your community that people are always doing something and going somewhere and it always costs money? Like, how do you, if that's true, tell us, and then how do you deal with that?
Yes, I think it's very true. I think that I've noticed it a lot more since I'm self-employed than I did. I think I just didn't think about it as much. When I don't know why you think so differently when you're employed by someone.
Right.
When self-employed, you really start to think differently, and self-employed in the house together, I started to think differently. But yeah, it is a challenge. I have quite a few single friends that are in my age range. A lot of them, you know, make what I make or way more. And so they do like to go out a lot. And so that makes it difficult. I think in this season, especially with some, you know, health issues I've been having, learning to say no, right, and learning it's okay to say no sometimes, and you can't be at everything. And then you have to kind of just be very selective of like what's really important.
Right.
And then, like, you know, some of the things that you've taught me, which has been amazing having this relationship with you over the last year and a half or so. If it doesn't really fit in the budget, it's like a hard no.
Right.
Or are there ways where you can kind of be creative?
Yes.
And still go and function at these things, but I ate at home, which right now, dietary wise, is helpful for me anyway. So can I eat at home? Because, I mean, I have Southern roots, so I make sure my parents have raised me so that my freezer and refrigerator are full at all times.
Right.
And pantry. So there's no excuse. Right. Can I eat at home and still go in fellowship? Because I know that even as a speech pathologist, we talk about like how dining is really about the social aspect of it more than anything else. And I know for me, even though I'm a foodie, the fellowship is most important. So right. Can I go and be at this event, and can I eat at home? Or, you know, can I eat afterwards or whatever the case may be? And then maybe a couple times a month, if it's, you know, a month that there's a lot of events going on, can I pick two of those that I'm actually going to dine at those events? So kind of like being selective. So I've had to get creative recently and figure it out.
Right.
And then keeping, like, not to be churchy or whatever. I know that I grew up saved, kind of.
Well, come on. This is a churchy podcast, so bring it on.
I got saved at a young age, but I try to honestly think about, like, God, am I being a good steward over what you gave me?
Yeah. Come on.
Like, how can I really make sure that I'm, you know, and not so much getting it right, because, yeah, I'm type A, but getting it wrong is not a problem. It's like, how can I use what you gave me to the best of my ability? How can I take, like, you know, the fish and loaves of bread and kind of spread it and make more and make sure that I'm also using it to do well? I know our church's motto for so long, our home church is to make life better for someone else. So how am I still using what you gave me to make sense to help others and bless others, and then also make sure I'm doing some of the things that I like, but having like a healthy balance of that. So just like, again, it's like that balance of this internal thing. I mean, I know I think too much or can be an overthinker, but it's just like being, the word that comes to mind is intentional.
Yes.
Being intentional and not just swiping or just doing things without thinking about it. Like having a plan also helps too. I think that I'm a planner. We talked about the budget thing and some of that, the YNAB and stuff, can be a little, the apps can be hard to manage all the time.
Right.
But just having a plan, like for instance, and things you don't even think about, you do. I've already started planning for the kids in my family for their Christmas gifts.
Right.
So that Christmas won't like kind of hit me at one time.
Yeah, yeah.
My family's super, super close, and all the little nieces and nephews and godchildren I buy clothes and toys and stuff for Christmas. So I started putting a list in my phone already and thinking about things that they like and trying to figure it out now.
Right.
And then I started using Facebook Marketplace.
There you go.
A couple of things that I wanted to sell that I need to get rid of, and then was able to find like some brand new unopened toys for them that they really wanted. And I'm like, okay, pay $15 for it now or buy it later at Christmas time for $35.
Right. Right. And just that planning and being intentional.
Right. Planning, being intentional, so I won't get financially overwhelmed.
Right.
When Christmas time comes, you know?
Right.
When I have the extra money that's coming in from my home health that I'm doing PRN or as needed, taking that money and buying, like, okay, I always buy my mom a couple gift cards for Christmas to go along with her gifts. So spreading those things out so that it makes sense down the road and November doesn't come and I'm like, oh my goodness, I'm about to drop $500 on Christmas gifts.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Planning ahead. I love that. It's all about, I feel like it's all about intentionality, which I think is one of the, I think it's one of the struggles for most of us because we want to just be able to go and do and all that stuff. But when we plan ahead, we can go and do and not have the guilt afterwards or not have, you know, like the anxiety about actually participating. So I love that. It's so good. I'm glad you mentioned being creative because that's what I was, one of the things I was going to say is, and you mentioned that part of like going sometimes and participating, you know, for the fellowship and stuff like that. But I remember we were young and married and we were broke. So our situation was a little different, but I remember a lot of times when there might be something that was out, sometimes we would do that. We would go and share an appetizer or something like that. Or we would be really proactive and just ask our friends to come over to our house, you know, and it's like, everybody bring a potluck or we'll cook or we'll order pizza or something like that. Because you're right. It's the fellowship. That's really the most important in all of these. Right. When you think about it, it doesn't really matter. Are you eating pizza on the couch and paper plates or are you going out to some fancy dinner? Now,
right.
I like a fancy dinner too, just as much as anybody.
Right.
Every week it's a little much. One of the things, just on that note, before we kind of seal off that part of the conversation, that one of my single clients did that I thought was so great. She actually worked at kind of like a fancy business like downtown. And so there, one of the things that she dealt with was it was kind of like everybody ate fancy lunches every week or whatever. And so it was something that it was like, you know, she decided what worked for her was we just decided, okay, she's going to go to the ATM. I don't remember what day she did it. She's going to go to the ATM Monday morning every week and get a certain amount of cash. Now, she didn't do like 100 cash envelopes or anything like that. But for her kind of entertainment, eating out, movie money, she just got like one certain amount of cash every Monday. And then that was a really good way for her to say, this lasts me through the entire week until next Monday. And that was kind of her like fun money. Mm-hmm. And it was like when the fun money was gone, it was gone. But she just kind of used that as her gauge to determine when she did and when she didn't. And if she wanted to go out on Friday night to the movies, that meant maybe she brought her lunch to work or, you know, whatever. But she one fun money thing. And that worked for her. But that's also the other part of it is you just have to figure out what works for you.
Absolutely. And I think I forgot some little things because you've taught me so many nuggets over the years. But when you said that, it rang a bell about like taking the money out. Like, I think I was bad with just, I mean, nowadays we just use cards so much.
Oh, for sure.
We don't carry the cash. And so you and I had talked about that. And my overspending was sometime in the grocery department. Like, for one person household, again, locked house, like, this is kind of ridiculous. So I started doing that and taking the cash out. And I was like, well, I drive so much for work. I don't have time to do it, but that was really not the truth because I go to the bank weekly on a certain day for a business deposit. I'm going there anyway. So I started to take out the money for groceries and then I'm using that. And when it's gone, it's gone. Like,
right.
And I've been doing better with it because it's not a need per se that I need to go use a card and buy something over top of that. Like, it has to wait next week. It's okay.
Right. Right. So, I love that. That's so good. Yeah. Because like you said, like there's always an option. Like you've probably got some at home. We all probably have some at home if we really want to say it.
Right. And packing lunches. I mean, I've been huge on that. My mom was a teacher. So we always were used to packing lunches. So that's, you know, hasn't been an issue as far as spending too much on lunches. It's always the weekend fun time entertainment that where you spend your money.
Right.
I'm a big coupon and Groupon and living social person.
Yes.
My dad was the one that when the Sunday paper came, he was doing the clippings and I got that from him as a young age. So that always helps too, to get the deals, to save a lot, you know, with Groupon and Living Social and that type of thing too.
Right. So in the last couple of minutes that we have, because like I said, I feel like the tables have turned and this is like, we're learning so much from Tiffany today, but what would you say to the single listener, men and women, like what encouragement would you give them if they're struggling with their relationship with money or if they're feeling like they just can't seem to get a grasp on a certain part or if they're just feeling lonely, like you kind of said at the beginning, like what little pieces of encouragement could you give them to help launch them to the next place?
Sure. I guess I'll address the first thing that I said about the loneliness piece because I sometimes have to preach this to myself. So this is me encouraging myself and encouraging others. So as far as the loneliness, I just think that you need to know that it's a season. Mm-hmm. I go back to Ecclesiastes and my mother, again, she preaches all the time to me. It's a season for everything. Mm-hmm. So this is a season. It may not be your, you know, season for a lifetime, but it's where you are now. And knowing that the great habits that you're making and good choices you're making and being a good steward over your money is going to serve you well in the future is for a greater purpose. So sometimes I'm motivated knowing that God, you know, the spouse is coming, the kids are coming, whatever that I, you know, trust and believe you for is coming. So I have to show you that I'm in a good place and being a good steward over what I have in order for you to add to my life. We, you know, I have to be in good relationship with you. We have to be good, God. And then on top of it, I have to show you that I'm doing well with what you already, you know, entrusted me with. So, and trusting his timing, that's really hard when you're a planner and you're like, God, I didn't expect to, you know, get divorced and blah, blah, blah. But trusting his timing and that there was, you know, a reason and, you know.
And that he works everything for good.
Yes, Jeremiah says it like he has a plan for you.
Mm-hmm.
He has a plan with Tiffany Jones' name on it. And I have to trust that he's going to do what he said he's going to do. And so just the preparation piece, I think about a lot. Like, if I can handle this now, that one day I won't have to juggle all this. Mm. So again, my mother always comes to mind, and she'll say, when I get really frustrated and I'm like, oh, it's end of the month and mom, things are cutting it close and I struggle to pay the rent at the office. And she said, honey, it won't always be like this. Mm. And you start to think about stories in the Bible where people really struggled and were hard pressed, but they weren't destroyed.
Right.
And you start to think about like, this won't always be like this. This is a season and I'm learning something this season and it's prepping me for my future. So singles, stay encouraged that it won't always be like this.
That's good. We read the story of Ruth and Boaz this morning with my second grader. Okay. And I loved the part when Boaz, he intentionally left grain. He told his men, the harvesters, I want you to intentionally leave some grain. And I was talking to my son about that, you know, because I was saying how it used to be that anything that was left behind, they would just leave there for the poorer people to come and pick up. And I said, but he told the men, intentionally drop some so that Ruth can come by and pick it up. And it's like, when Ruth was coming by and picking up those intentionally dropped pieces of grain, I don't believe she had any clue that it was not going to be much longer and she was going to be living in the palace. Right. And it's like, you don't know what this season, live your life in this season. You don't know what God has for you in the next season.
Wow.
So, you know,
that's great though. Those are good gems there. Like, I mean, the Bible has so many stories like that, that if we really glean from them, you're like, I can't kind of stay in my mess or in my rut too long, because guys, like, I'm sitting in front of you, letting you know that this is just for a time.
Right. This is just for a time. It's good. That's good. So,
the struggle, you know, won't last forever.
That's good.
Yeah, I found this quote that it came up in my like newsfeed that I posted in August of 2016, and I reposted it again and was like, wow, this is still true. And it says, instead of looking at what's depressing, look at what's a blessing. Kristen Butler. I think it's really true. Like, look at whatever is going on financially, looking at your bank account, like, you're looking at that almost overdraft and, you know, you get depressed, but look at the blessing in it, that you caught it in time, or that,
right.
Or like I was telling my mother the week, I had money to move from the savings to the checking to make sure things happen. Like, look at find the blessing in it.
That's find the blessing in it. That's so good. That's a good word. And I think that's a good word to end on. Let's like, instead of looking at what's depressing, let's look at the blessing. That's so good. Tiffany, this has been just the best. Thank you so much for coming and sharing with all of us. I know that our single and married listeners are going to get so much out of this conversation. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you for the opportunity. I really appreciate it. Thank you for what you're doing to bless others and financial and relationship with Christ.
Amazing. Thank you. You're so sweet. All right. Let's talk soon.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right. I hope you enjoyed that conversation. And listen, if this sounded really interesting to you and you have a money conversation that you want to have on air, if you have a money story that you want to share, or if you have some questions that you think, oh my goodness, I've been struggling with this, and probably there are other people out there who are too, then email me. Get in contact with me. You can reach me at alexis@thatmakestotalsense.com, and we can talk about getting you online so we can share your story with everyone too. So again, this is Alexis Busetti with That Makes Total Sense, reminding all of us, myself included, that we can do well for ourselves so that we can do good for others. Thanks.